47 degrees now. Paul Harris filling in for McGraw at 10 after 7, and time to bring in Sam Donaldson for his weekly visit here on the McGraw Show. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hey, Paul. I'm okay. I'm glad to talk to you. I understand McGraw has the sniffles. He's listening. Drink your orange juice now.
Drink your orange juice and take your Allegra, because today is allergy season big time here. We're going to get so warm today. I just checked the pollen.com allergy alert level, which they do for some reason on a scale of 12. It's 9.8.
Well, sniffle and sneeze.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, the candidates today, they're not sniffling and sneezing. They're just sitting there chewing their nails.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk to you about the candidates themselves, but first I want to ask you a question, because you have been observing the political process for a long time, and I have been looking this morning at the various primaries and caucuses and how they operate and how they give delegates out, and some do it on a district-by-district basis, some do it on a winner-take-all statewide basis. Here in Missouri, we had a Republican primary that didn't even count, and no delegates were awarded, and I think they get together at an Applebee's in a couple of weeks, and three guys decide who gets the delegates. I mean, have you ever seen a system that makes less sense than the way we choose the people who are going to run for president in this country, Sam?
Well, I don't think it makes a lot of sense either. I think we should have a direct proportional vote rather than the Electoral College and what have you. Yeah, for instance, today there are either 437 delegates or 419 delegates up for stake, as you say, depending on whether you count delegates that will eventually be selected on some basis of the voting today, or whether you just count delegates that are selected today. But I think Mitt Romney will get the majority of delegates, certainly more than any of his other opponents will get today. But the big question is, who wins Ohio? Does he knock out Rick Santorum, the last guy standing for the conservatives who are desperately trying to stop Mitt Romney? Or does Santorum eke out a victory and go on?
Now, one of the problems that Santorum has is that he doesn't have a ton of money, and he doesn't have a great organizational staff. In fact, he's not even on the ballot in some districts in Ohio.
That's right, and he's not on the ballot in Virginia. Neither is Newt Gingrich. I mean, that's why I say, if you do the math, Romney's going to get a delegate count that's pretty good today. But the concentration will be on, can he knock out Rick Santorum? If he wins Ohio, I think not just Eric Cantor, the Republican majority leader in the House, who yesterday jumped on the Romney bandwagon, you're going to see a flight toward Romney of people who say, well, we don't like him that much, but he's going to be the nominee, and I want to get on board.
You think they're doing that just because of their dislike of Obama? They're going to have to go for the guy that they don't really want, but he's the guy who's going to get the baton, and if he's going to run with it, we're going to run with him.
Well, I've got to tell you, Paul, political parties are organized to win elections. This idea that, no, it's better to lose this election and lose it on principle because we'll come back and win it next time, even though we didn't do it this time on principle, I think that's you take the bird in the hand, folks. Not two are in the bush somewhere. Win the election. And I think most Republicans, whether they really are just lukewarm to Mitt Romney, assuming he's the nominee, most Republicans will back him fervently for the reason you gave. They want to defeat Barack Obama with a kind of virulent affliction that you seldom see in politics.
Assuming that there is an inevitability to Romney, and we'll find that out more today. We won't know definitely, but we'll find out more about that with tonight's results. How much damage has been done to him by Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum and the others?
Well, you always say, well, the primary fight is a damaging one, and usually that's not true. Usually the primary fight just helps the eventual nominee in many senses. But I have to agree with you, this has been so vicious, and the things that each of them, including Romney, have called the other have been so over the top that you just know the Democrats are licking their chops. They're going to use those issues, whether the Republicans had raised them or not, against the eventual nominee. But the sound bites they're going to be able to produce against a Mitt Romney or a Rick Santorum are going to be wondrous things.
Talking with Sam Donaldson here on the Big 550 KTRS. Last week, a website called BuzzFeed dug up a Mitt Romney op-ed for USA Today from July of 2009, in which he said that the president, President Obama, could learn a thing or two from the health care plan that he put into law when he was governor of Massachusetts, including using the individual mandate as an incentive for people to buy insurance. Now, Romney's been out there for the last year saying, yes, we want to do it at the statewide level, but we never intended for it to be taken at the federal level and turned into what President Obama has done with it. And yet here's this op-ed from 2.5 years ago in which he essentially says exactly that, that the president should use that model.
How... He hadn't made the full swivel yet. He was on the way. Look. The mandate is something that was dreamed up by the Heritage Foundation, one of the great conservative think tanks here in Washington. It made sense for almost everyone, including lots of conservatives. You want me to go down a list? Until they discovered that Barack Obama was going to try to push it. And then remember, beginning with this, the president's inauguration, anything Obama, had he tried to say, I'd like a motherhood resolution, no, was going to be opposed. And they did it effectively. The country now believes that this health care plan is just cockapoo. I mean, have they studied it? Everyone who comes up and says, it's a terrible plan, will you tell me if you really know what's in it? Will you? Well, so-and-so said that. No, I mean, have you looked at it? No. Thank you, sir. Next question.
Is this just going to be more fodder for the very talented people in the Obama campaign to use against Romney?
Well, that's it. I mean, I still think with the economy as bad as it is, this ought to be a Republican year. But you see, my friend George F. Will Incorporated, with whom I've worked for so many years, over the weekend writing a column, just throwing it in and saying, forget it, if Obama's going to be reelected, I think, let's concentrate on preserving the House and winning the Senate. And if you think Obama's going to be reelected, that makes excellent sense. But I don't think the Republican Party should throw it in at this point. It should be a Republican year. Get the act together, find the nominee, back the nominee, make the case, and win the election.
All right, let's switch gears here for a second and talk about the run-up to war. Yesterday, John McCain was calling for U.S.-led airstrikes to stop Syrian aggression. There's a new NBC Wall Street Journal poll that says only 13% of Americans favor that approach. Half of America might go for humanitarian aid. 25% said we should not be taking any action here. And at the same time, our gas prices are up because of tensions with Iran. And we have Netanyahu yesterday at the AIPAC meeting after his meeting with the president saying, you know, we've got to do something to keep Iran from going nuclear. Do you think that the United States population, Sam, would support us getting involved in any more military action of any kind in the Middle East?
It's clear, Paul, that the U.S. public does not want to go to war. It's sick and tired of it. The U.S. public, according to all the polls, says this Iraq thing was a mistake, and we want to get out of Afghanistan. And whether you think they're right or not, that is the American electorate. That is the American people. If our government isn't based on the will of the people... And we'd never lost. I mean, goodbye. However, presidents, since the last president to ask Congress for declaration of war, Article 1, Section 7, was Franklin Roosevelt in December of 1941. Ever since then, for one reason or another, presidents have said, I'm the commander-in-chief, and I'll decide when we go to war. Thank you. The American public doesn't thank them, it's clear.
Do you get a sense that we're not going to be taking action directly against Iran, but we are going to have to stand behind Israel if and when they do it?
The president has said it. He made it clear in his AIPAC speech. He's made it clear to Prime Minister Netanyahu that we've got your back. We agree. They can't have a nuclear weapon. You have the right as a sovereign nation to defend yourself as you see fit. And that means when Prime Minister Netanyahu decides to strike, we'll back it. Will we have our warplanes there? I trust not. I think probably not. Will we put our Marines, of which we have so few now, they're so spread so thin, into Iran? I don't think so, no. But we're going to back Israel, absolutely.
All right, so then extrapolate for me. What happens if Israel says, we got to go in there and keep Iran from having a nuclear war, and we got to do it by dropping something on them?
Well, it's very interesting. The question always has been, the mullahs who run Iran, do they not understand it'll be struck? Do they not understand? And the answer looks like, yeah, we understand it, but from these ashes, we will rise. From the conflagration that will then ensue in the Middle East, we will survive and we will become dominant. It's a heck of a strategy. Kills a lot of people. And it's not one that I think you and I and most Americans would agree is the right strategy. But it may be the mullahs.
Does it reignite the it's the West against Islam debate?
You got it. Yeah. You got it. If there's still any hope that we can win the hearts and minds of the Arab street, something like that, we need not apply. Yeah. For generations.
Turning the Arab Spring back into an Arab winter.
Look what's happened to the Arab Spring in Egypt. We backed it reluctantly toward the end. People were saying Obama was too late to do that. Why didn't he get in there early? And look at the government that's now emerging. Anti-American.
Yep.
And perhaps they'll try to abrogate the peace treaty with Israel. Let's see.
This is why I say don't get involved with countries where people go out in the streets and throw rocks at people with guns. You cannot understand that as an American, and we will never understand the Middle East. Sam Donaldson, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today.
Bye-bye.
It's 720. Paul Harris from McGraw on the Big 550 KTRS.